Today's daf is Mi'ilah daf Chaf Aleph, the last daf in Maseches Mi'ilah. We'll see if we could try to make a run for it and try to finish up Maseches Mi'ilah so that we could have a fresh start with Kinim tomorrow, even though tomorrow's daf is a combination of Mi'ilah and Kinim. So we left off, we actually got to daf Chaf Aleph Amal Aleph yesterday. We left off at the Mishnah on the top of Chaf Aleph Amal Aleph. Amar Lo, we were discussing issues of shlichus and mi'ilah, so that's what this parak is about. So we know that even though there's generally concept of ein shliach l'dvar avera, that concept does not apply to mi'ilah. So we're discussing various cases where a person has a shliach doing something for him, where they're taking something out of the rishus of hegdish. So who is in violation of mi'ilah? Is it so we learned yesterday about it being dependent on whether the shliach is osa shlichuso or ein osa shlichuso. If the shliach does as he's asked to do, then the mishaleach is the one who's violating Mi'ilah. If the Shliach does not do as he is asked to do, then it is the Shliach who's violating Mi'ilah. Of course, the complicating factor by Mi'ilah is that there's only a Chiv Mi'ilah when it's done B'shogeg. So as soon as somebody realizes what they're doing, then it takes them out of, ironically, it takes them out of the possibility of being Chayv for Mi'ilah. So says the Mishnah, Amar lo haveli min hachalon o min hadluskma. If you say to somebody, you say to a Shliach, bring me some money from the chalon. Chalon means two things throughout Shas. Sometimes it means a window, and sometimes it means like a little cubby, like you have in the Beis Hamikdash. The chalon was susum. The Gemara at the end of was it the end of Makos, maybe, that one of the families, they were punished that their chalon was sasun, their chalon was closed off. What kind of chalon? The chalon was a kabi, it was a place where they kept their kalim that they used for the various avodos. So if a guy says to somebody else, bring me from a chalon, so over here probably doesn't mean a window, probably means a kabi. He says, bring me from a chalon, oh, min hadluskuma, or from a dluskuma. What's a dluskuma? Rash says, tlika desabi. It's like an old man's pouch, the wallet or the pouch that another family any pack that an old man walks around with. So he says, bring me money from that. The heavy loan, he brings him. Even though the guy, according to the Balabais, now, retrospectively, the Balabais is saying, oh, he brought me from the wrong chalon, he brought me from the wrong dulskama, I never meant that one, and that one is where there's mamon hegdish. I wanted him to bring me mamon hegdish. I didn't want him to bring me mamon hegdish. Nevertheless, if the Balabais, b'shogig, before he realizes, before he chaps where the guy got it from, has spent the money, so the Balabais is the one that's in violation of Me'ilah, not the shliach. Says Tosos in the top Tosos, third line, Afal pi shamar balabais lo haya belibi alze ela alze. Even though he says, I didn't intend for him to bring me from that chalon, from that luskma, kiyam ala acher, mikol makam balabayis mal, shari nasa shlichuso, didvarm shablev in dvarim. All we know is what he actually told the guy. He told the guy, chalon, luskma. The guy did bring from a chalon or a luskma. So that's it. We can't trust the dvarm shablev of the balabayis when he said, no, I didn't mean that one. No, he did exactly as he told him, mela, you're in violation of Mi'ilah. Aval, back in the Mishnah, Amar lo haveli min hachalon vehevi lo min hadluskma, o min hadluskma vehevi lo min hachalon. But if the shliach did not follow instructions, he told them, bring me from the chalon, and the guy brings from the luskma, or vice versa, hashliach ma'al. Then the shliach is going to be in violation of Mi'ilah. Says Tosfos, pirish likshi yotzi balabais. When is the shliach in violation of Mi'ilah? Just by bringing the money from one place to another? No, when the balabais spends the money, because that's when he's mapikit l'chulin. Shehum is stama gizbar, because again, all of these mishnayis are assuming that the balabais we're talking about is not stama balabais, we're talking about a gizbar. Shereadayin lo yatsu mirshus hagdish atshotziyam. And therefore, as long as it's in the gizbar's personal rishus, that's considered as if it never left the rishus hagdish. It only is considered to have left the Rishos Hagdish when he spends it. So the Shliach will be in violation of his own Mi'ilah, and it's not going to be the Balabai's Mi'ilah if the Shliach didn't listen to the instructions exactly. And so as soon as the Balabai spends it, it's going to be the Shliach's violation of Mi'ilah. Shalach b'yad cherishot v'katan. What if you send as a messenger a cherishot v'katan? So im asu shlichuso, Balabai's mal. If they do their shlichus, the Balabai's is in violation of Mi'ilah. The Gemara is going to deal with the fact that this obviously seems to be working through shlichus, that we don't say ein shliach l'dvar avera by mi'ilah, so yesh shliach l'dvar avera. Anytime I send a shliach to do mi'ilah for me, it counts for me. But over here, I didn't send a shliach, I sent a chereshot of katan. Chereshot of katan generally are lav b'nei shlichus. So we'll deal with that in the Gemara, but presumably, at this point, we're supposed to understand it, that it is shlichus, and the chereshot of katan can accomplish a shlichus on behalf of the balabais, and therefore the balabais is going to be in violation of mi'ilah. Lo asa shlichus, but let's say the Cher Shot of a Katan didn't do as instructed, in some way they veered from the instructions, then Chen Vini Ma'al, then the storekeeper is the one who violates Me'ila. Can't be the Balabais as Ma'al, because his shlichus wasn't carried out. Can't be the Chayr Shot of a Katan that were Ma'al, because they're not B'nai Me'ila. So it must be that it's the Chen Vini who's in violation of Me'ila. He's the one that's B'shogeg, being Motzi the money, Me'ir Rishos Hagdish L'Rishos Hedyot. Sholach B'yad Pikeach V'nizkar Ad Shlo Higia Eitzel Chen Vini. Let's say you send a Pikeach with the money to go spend on regular chulin items, and you realize before the pikeach gets to the store what you had done, that oyvei, he's bringing hektish money, he's not bringing chulin money. So chen v'ni ma'al l'kshayotzi. So then the chen v'ni is going to be the one that's in violation of mi'ila when the money is spent. Ketzad yasa, so what should you do if you realize, if you wake up and you realize that the money that's being spent, meaning it's not, the guy is not going to be in violation of me, the shliach is not going to be in violation of me because he's also shlichu, so he's doing exactly as you told him to. The mishaleach is not going to be in violation of me because he's mazed at this point, he realizes what's going on, so he can't be in violation of me, so it's only the chenveni who's eligible to be in violation of me. So ketzad yasa, what should you do if you want to stop this train that's going down the wrong way? So notel pruto kli, you should take a pruta, a little bit of money or some other kli that has some value. Va'omer pruta shall hagdish kamakam shum mechulal alzeh shagdish nifta bekesav b'shav kasev. And you should say that the pruta of hagdish, wherever it may be, should be nifta on this kli or this pruta, and therefore by the time the shaliach gets to the chenveni, he's not going to have hagdish money in his hands anymore. He's going to have something that was already niftes, because the halach is that hagdish could be niftes on kesef or on shav kesef. So says Gemara right off the bat, Maika Mashvil, and what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, of the first line of the Mishnah, where the Baal HaBayis said, I know I told you to take from the chalon, but I didn't realize he took from that chalon. I thought he took from it, I thought he would understand. I meant that he should take from a different chalon. So we don't care about what you meant, we only care about what you said. What's the Chiddush? Dvarim Shebelei, Venim Dvarim. The Chiddush is that Dvarim Shebelei, Venim Dvarim, that it doesn't matter what you think you meant or what you really wanted to say. What matters is what you actually did say. So this is a very brief line in our Gemara, but the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Nun, Amud Aleph spends a lot of time in our Mishnah in the Sugya of Dvarim Shebelei, Venim Dvarim. And the Shaklavatari of the Gemara is the Gemara tries to prove from our Mishnah that Dvarim Shebelei, Venim Dvarim, because we don't pay any attention to the Machshava of the Baal HaBayis, even though we believe him. We believe him when he says, I didn't intend for you to take the hektish money from that chalon. I meant for you to take the chulin money from a different chalon. But still, it's dvarim shebelev, and therefore it's irrelevant. So the Gemara over there asks, how is it a raya from our Mishnah? It could be that really dvarim shebelev are dvarim. The reason we don't listen to the Baal HaBayis afterwards over here is because maybe we just don't believe him. Maybe he's only saying this because once he realizes that he's violated Me'ila, he doesn't want to have to bring the carbon Me'ila. So he's saying, oh no, the shliach didn't do his shlichus. I really meant something else. So maybe really dvarim shebelev are dvarim, but we don't believe him. We think that he's just trying to come up with some excuse in order to get out of having to bring his carbon Me'ila. So how's this a raya at all? So the Gemara answers that no, if he wanted to get out of his karban, he has a much easier way to get out of his karban. He doesn't have to say that he thought of a different chalon, a different tluskama, or anything like that. Excuse me. He simply could have said, I was mazed. I knew exactly where he was going. I knew he was taking Mamash al Hagdish, and I dafka sent him there. And the halacha is that mazed is patur min hakarban. The whole chiyuv is only b'shogeg. So if he really, really wanted to get out of it, he could have gotten out of it by saying he was mazed instead of making up a dvarim shebelev. So it must be that the issue is not that we don't believe him because he's trying to get out of it. We do believe him. The issue is dvarim shebelev in dvarim. So the Gemara then asks, no, that's not a good, that can't be the situation. It can't be that we're assuming if he really wanted to get out of it that he would say mazed, because he doesn't want to say mazed, because there's a general concept, another mesem atzma rasha, that a person doesn't want to make himself look bad. So it's better for him to say, it was an honest mistake. I really thought that you were going to go to a different chalon, which had chulin. I didn't realize you were going to take hegdish money and that way get himself out of me'ila, rather than have to say, no, I was mazed and I knew exactly what we were doing and I dafka wanted to take hegdish money and get himself out of me'ila that way. So it's unlikely that that he would have chosen the path that's going to make him look bad. So the Gemara says, if he intended to get off of the karban, he would not have said that he was mechashe b'libo acheres, that he had a different thought in mind, that that he really meant a different chalon, he would have said that as soon as if he wanted to get out of it without looking bad, he could have said a much simpler excuse. He could have said that as soon as he sent the shliach to be mol behegdish, he realized that it was hegdish. That at the time that he sent the guy, he didn't yet realize that it was hegdish. Right after he sent him, before the guy actually did anything, he realized that it's hegdish. And our Mishnah says that if the Baal HaBayis realizes that it's hegdish, the Baal HaBayis is patur, the shliach is going to be chayv me'ila. So that's how he could have gotten out of the chiv me'ila without making himself a rasha, because the shlichus was carried out b'shogeg. So Tosfos HaRosh in Kiddushin of there asks, from the fact that the Gemara asks that it could be, the Gemara suggests at one point there, it could be that we don't pay any attention to the machshava of the Baal HaBayis, not because Dvarim Shebelevin and Dvarim, but simply because we don't believe him, but rather we assume he's just trying to get himself out of a chiv karban. How can you read that into our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says the Baal HaBayis is ma'al. Ma'al sounds like ba'ofen vadai, that he is in definite violation of mi'ila, which would mean he has to bring a karban. But if the whole idea is that that we're not sure whether he's just using this as an excuse to try to get out of it, or he's serious and he really means this, but dvarim shebelev really are dvarim, how could we let him bring a karban? It's a safek. How could you let him bring chul na'azara mi safek? So Tosa Rosh doesn't, in Kiddushin, doesn't understand the havamina. How does it read into the Gemara? How does it read into our Mishnah, where the Mishnah says in the definitive terminology that he's ma'al? So Tosa Rosh says, maybe you have to say that when we say Baal HaBayis is ma'al, it means only in that he has to pay a keren v'chomesh, but not in the asham mi'ilos, not in terms of karban. So maybe that's what it means ma'al, that it's not real ma'al. It's ma'al in the sense of keren v'chomesh, not ma'al in the sense of karban. Good, that's Aleph. Next thing, the Mishnah also says that if the Baal HaBayis realizes and the Shliach doesn't realize, the Shliach is the one who's in violation of Mi'ila. So there are two different explanations in Rashi, in two different places in Shas, as to why that should be the case. Rashi over here, or the Mefarish, and Rashi Maseches Kiddushin Daf Nun, where this comes up, says that the reason the Baal HaBayis is Pater is because once he realizes, he's amazed. And Mi'ila is only when you do it B'shogeg. But since the Baal HaBayis realized before the Shliach did anything, so therefore the Baal HaBayis merely becomes amazed, and he can't be Chayiv Nasham Mi'ilos if he is amazed. However, Rashi Maseches Chagiga on Daf Yud Amid Beis is Mefarish that Mestama, as soon as the Baal HaBayis realizes that he sent the shliach to be mol behegdish, he is mevatel his mino shlichus. He doesn't want the shliach any longer to act as his shliach. He severs the ties between himself and the shliach, and therefore the Baal HaBayis is pater, simply because he's no longer the shliach. Not because the Baal HaBayis has now become mazid, but because the shliach is no longer acting on his behalf. And since he has severed the ties with the shliach, so that's why the Baal HaBayis is not going to be mal. But the shliach doesn't know that the stuff is hegdish, and he doesn't know that the shlichus has been mevutal. So he's spending most of Hegdish, he's spending Hegdish money on Chulin, that's his own Maisa, Bishogeg, and therefore the Shliach is going to be in violation of Mi'ila. That's how Rashi says in Maseches Chagiga. Now the Ketzos and Simon Shin Mem Ches and Rabbi Kiva Eger and Kiddush and Daf Mem Beis say, like the Rashi in Maseches Chagiga, they say that that's how Tosfos learns and that's how the Mordechai learns, that it's a bittul of the shlichus entirely, that the guy is simply not acting as a shliach. Because if you don't say that, meaning if you were to say like Rashi says over here, that the reason for the Petur is that the Baal HaBayis is already amazed and the shliach is a shogeg, b'kola Torah kula, there's yesh shliach l'dvar aveiru when the shliach is a shogeg. This is at least Shita Satosfos, that even though generally ain't shliach l'dvar aveiru, when the shliach is a shogeg, yesh shliach l'dvar aveiru. What's the svara? Because why would we say ain't shliach l'dvar aveiru? Divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomin, which some understand that the Mishaleach says, I didn't think he would listen to me. Why would he ever listen to me? Or we could have a taina on the shliach. What are you doing? Why would you listen to him? him, why would you not listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Whichever way you understand Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishamin, when the Shaliach is a Shogeg, the Svara doesn't apply. Why would you not think he's going to listen to you? He didn't realize that he was doing anything wrong. He was a Shogeg. Of course you knew he's going to listen to you. We have no Taina on the Shaliach. Why would you listen to this guy and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He was a Shogeg. He doesn't realize that he was violating the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was going against the Ratzon Hashem. So that's why Rabbi Kivegar and the Ktzos say that since in Kol HaTarakula, Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, when the Shliach is a Shogeg, see, even if the Balabais is not violated Mi'ila, the Shliach should not violate Mi'ila either. Because the fact that the Balabais is amazed, yeah, good, that makes it that the Balabais is not going to be in violation of Mi'ila. But why should the Shliach be in violation of Mi'ila? What he's doing is still an act of Shlichus on behalf of the Balabais. So granted, the Balabais is amazed, but the Shliach can't be held responsible for Mi'ila unless he's doing an independent action, unless he's doing something on his own. But over here he's not, because yesh shliach l'dvar avera, when the shliach is a shogeg. It's completely done with the shliach of the balabais. So really, both of them should be potter, both the shliach and the balabais. The balabais because he's amazing, and the shliach because his maisa is not his own maisa. It's the maisa of the balabais. So that's why you have to say that when the balabais realizes that it's hegdish, he's mevatel the shlichus. That's why you have to say, like the shita of Rashi in Chagiga, says Rabbi Kivega, says it tells, that it has to be that the balabais mevatel the shlichus. What does that do for me? Because if the balabais is mevatel the shlichus, and then it turns out when the shliach does his thing, when he spends this money, he's doing it on his own. He's not working on behalf of the balabais. Right in the Gemara. Now, second line of Gemara. Shilach b'yalcher shodvakata namaso. So what do we say in the Mishnah? That if you send the cher shodvakata, if they do their shlichus, the balabais is moel. If they don't do their shlichus, it's the chenveni that is moel. So frak the Gemara, what do you mean? If they do their shlichus, the balabais is moel. Sounds like it works me din shlichus. But v'alav b'nei shlichus aninu. These people can't become shluchim. The cher shodvakata are not eligible to be shluchim. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, asam kimatan shal zesim. The tana zesim emesai mekabel tumim mishiyaziu zeis hamatan v'lo zeis hakupa. That we treat it like the vat of olives that holds the olives in when they're getting soft and they're being ready to be pressed. So the halacha is, in order for something to become hukshar lekabel tuma, in order for something to be ready to be mekabel tuma for food, to be ready to be mekabel tuma, it has to come into contact with one of the zayin mashkim, and it has to be nichale. It has to be the owner has to be okay with the fact that it got wet. So one of these Zayin Mashkim is Shemen. So if the olives are sitting in the vat where they're oozing a little bit, and they're therefore all getting wet from their own juices, so that is enough to be machshirit lekabel tuma. But lo zeas hakupa, not when you're first picking it from the field and you put it in baskets, it might ooze a little bit there, but that's not oozing that you're happy with, and therefore it's not going to be hukshar lekabel tuma over there. So what's the point? What does that have to do with a cher shod v'kat and doing a shlichus? Apparently, since you need to be happy with the liquid touching the food, normally, how do you express that you're happy with it? Because you do it. You make the liquid touch the food. And that's how you express that you're really being machshirit lekabel tuma. But over here, you're not doing anything. It's happening by itself. And apparently, that counts, ki'ilu, if you could use such a terminology, even though it's a little bit of a misnomer, it's your shlichus that's making it happen. You have to be happy with it. And since it's happening on its own, and you're happy with it, so it's ki'ilu, you were putting it on. It's as if it's happening with your shlichus. But there's no shliach. It's just happening. It's by being crushed in the vat together. Nothing's going on. So too over here, you send the cher shot of a cut, and granted they're not b'nei shlichus, but because you sent them and they're doing exactly as you asked, even though they themselves are not b'nei shlichus, it's ki'ilu, they serve as your shluchim. Tosfos just raises the question, so the whole point of bringing this case of the zeya from the olives is to tell me that there's a din, that when fruits get wet, that they could become hukshar lekabel tuma even if you didn't put the liquid on them, that as long as it's nichlei. Well, we have that in drasha throughout all of Shas. Why would you dafka quote this line? Tosfos yesh lo tuma atu lo shamin mikama duchtin hahi drasha kiyutan dumya dechiyitain, that when liquid gets wet, it has to be like kiyitain in the fact that it's nichlei, that you're happy with it. Yeah, I have to dafka come up with this obscure case. We could have brought it from anywhere. So he says v'shema hasam ikamaisa miyabidei shemayim, lach aisei dezeis hazeisim. No, we talk about like when the tal comes down, when the dew comes down. So why don't we give that case? So it says that that's a maisa. Hakadosh Baruch Hu did a maisa over there. Over here, it's no maisa. It's mamish happening by itself. It's no act of God nor an act of man, and therefore it's not considered a maisa whatsoever. Fine, that's one answer. How the cherushot of a katan can do a shlichus for a balabayis to violate meila? Rabbi Yochanan Amar back in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Amar kosa sheshaninu nasan al gabei akof vaholicho al gabei apil vaholicho hareza eruf al makav de shlichusay hachnam yisav shlichusay. For certain dinim of shlichus, you don't need a shliach. For instance, when you want to make an eruv tchumen, so what do? You have to set up shtei su'udos worth, two meals worth, outside of the city. Let's say 2,000 amos to the east of the city. So that will now become your center for Shabbos, and you're going to be allowed to go 2,000 amos from that eruv, as opposed to 2,000 amos from where you actually are. Let's say you can't get there to bring the eruv, so you send your local elephant. You put it on the back of your elephant, and the elephant walks, and he drops off the eruv for you 2,000 amos. So that's fine. That works too. So apparently you don't need to be a shliach, a kof. This is a monkey or an elephant. Obviously, an apanei shlichus. This is the expression we have throughout Shas that Chazal always used, what they call a maisa kof. What's a maisa kof bialma? Maisa kof bialma means it's just something that happens, but it's not something that needs anyone to actually do it. It's not a halachically significant act. It's the das of the balabais that's significant, but the act in and of itself is not significant. For people who are unlettered in the way Chazal speak, so it could sound crass. I remember a while ago there was a prominent Rosh Yeshiva that someone was asked, can a woman read the ksuba under the chuppah? So he said, reading the ksuba is a maisa kof. A monkey can read the ksuba under the chuppah. So headlines in the newspapers, rabbi calls women monkeys, you know, because if you're completely, if you don't know anything about the way Chazal speak, if you're I'm a Arutz Gomer, so then you know, then it sounds like you're saying that the rabbi calls women monkeys, but that's an expression we have throughout Shas. So anyway, so we see that kav the shlichusay, that the kof, the peel, they're able to do the shlichus over here also. They're able to do the shlichus. Frek Tosos on the bottom, in the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim, that the Gemara in Erevin tells us, ein ze eruv, that it's not a good eruv if you have the kof or the peel. So what are we quoting over here? We're saying it is a good eruv. So says Tosos, big difference. When is it not a good eruv? When the monkey or the elephant just drops it there. But if you have a guy there waiting for the monkey or the elephant, and he takes it off the monkey or the elephant, and he puts it down for you, then it is a good eruv. So it tells us that's great to explain Erevin. How does that explain our Gemara? We're trying to say that the kof and the peel are doing everything and still it counts as a shlichus. But if there's a guy there, that guy is your shliach. How does that help us understand how a cheir shot of a kata could be a shliach? If you want to tell me a kof or a peel could be the shliach, good, that explains how cheir shot of a kata could be a shliach. But there's a guy over there. So it says to us, kashim came lo maisi yachamidi, kimi de badasi nicho. So it says to us, lakach nir da hachamari ba'amad vero ehu, shapili. No, the case is that you sit there watching him. It's not just that he happens to drop it there and you have no idea where he dropped it. You're watching him the whole time, but not that another person is there. It's the kof, the peel, that's doing completely the act of shlichus, but you're watching it from a distance and that's good enough. Okay, back in the Gemara now. Shalach b'yad pikeach. The Mishnah said, if you send it with a pikeach, right? You send your money to be spent with the pikeach, and then you remember. You remember before he gets there. So the best thing to do is to be poded on something else. So, but otherwise, if you remember, you're not going to be in violation of meila because you're amazed at that point. The guy is not going to be in violation of meila. So because he's not doing your shlichus anymore, it's the chenveni that's in violation of meila. So v'afagav d'loit kashliach. Sounds like even though the shliach has no idea still, it's only the mishaleach who realizes. Uramin he niska balabayis v'lo niska shliach hashliach mal. But didn't we learn that if the balabayis realizes and the shliach doesn't realize, the shliach is in violation of meila? Why are we saying over here that it's only the chenveni that's in violation of meila? So says Mar Rav Sheshes Masiz and Kshiniskru Shnehem. You have to say that we're dealing with a case where they both remember, that both the shliach and mishaleach remember, and that's why it's neither of them that's in violation of meila. and it's only the chenvrini. But ain't a chinami. If the shliach is still a shogeg and he's still doing exactly as you told him, so then he's going to be in violation of his own mi'ila. It's not going to be the chenvrini, it's going to be the shliach. No mishnah. Nasno pruta. You give a guy a pruta. Amrlo haveli v'chetzi neros v'chetzi psilos. So you gave him a pruta of hekdish, and you say, do me a favor, buy me with half of this pruta neros, with half of them, I want you to buy wicks. V'halach v'evi b'kula psilos v'kula neros. And he goes and he spends the entire pruta on psilos or neros. So with half of the pruta, he did his shlichus. With the other half of the pruta, he did his own thing. But the thing is, you're only violating mi'ila when you do a whole shava pruta's worth of mi'ila. So it turns out over here, the balabayas, he did his shlichus for half a pruta, so that's the balabayas' problem. He did not do shlichus for the other half of pruta, that's his own problem. So each one only has a mi'ila of a chati pruta. O shamar lo haveli b'kula neros, so b'kula psilos, v'alach v'evi b'chetzi neros, so b'chetzi psilos. Or maybe the reverse. The balabayas said, I want you to spend all of it on wicks. And he spends half it on wicks and half of it Neros, shneim lo malu. So then, neither of them is moel. Avalim amar lo haveli b'chetzi neros mimakom ploni u'b'chetzi psilos mimakom ploni. But if he says, "I want you to spend half of it on neros in this place and half of it on psilos in this other place," valach veivi lo neros mimakom psilos u'psilos mimakom neros, and he reverses it. He brings the neros. He said, "That's my favorite store to buy the wicks. That's my favorite store to buy the candles." And the guy messes it up and he buys it in the wrong store. Hashliach mal. Then the shliach is in violation of mila because every thing he spent was wrong. He wasn't doing the shlichus at all. On both chatzi prutas he was off. He spent the chatzi pruta on the psilos in the wrong place and on the neros in the wrong place. Nasan lo shtei prutas. Next case, what if he gives him two prutos, and he says, "Va'amelo leich va'aveli esrog." I want you to take these two prutos, buy me an esrog. See how much an esrog used to cost. What is that? About 6 cents nowadays. Two prutos. So that's about what it costs right now, this time of year. So he says, "Go and bring me an esrog." Va'halach ve'hevi lo ba'achas esrog uba'achas rimon. And he got a good deal. He found an esrog for a shavu pruta. So he spent one pruta on the esrog and one pruta on the rimon. So on a pomegranate. So shnei amalu. So both guys are in violation of Me'ila. Why? Because he did his shlichus vis-a-vis the Esrog, and therefore that's the Balabais' problem. He didn't do his shlichus vis-a-vis the Rimon, and therefore it's the Shliach's problem, so they're both in violation of Me'ila. Rabbi Hudomer Balabais Loma al Shuhomer lo Esrog Gadol Yisim Vakesh Revesali Katan Vara. No, Rabbi Huda says Balabais didn't violate Me'ila because the Shliach didn't do his shlichus at all. He said two prutos for an Esrog, which means I want a good Esrog. By him only spending one prut on the Esrog, he obviously bought him an inferior esrog, so therefore it's not mi'ila on behalf of the balabais at all. Nasno dinar zahav. Let's say you give him a dinar of zahav, six silver slaim, one gold coin. Vamlo leich vaveli chaluk, and he says, go buy me a suit, go buy me a shirt, some piece of clothing for this dinar zahav. V'halach ve'evi lo b'shlosha chaluka b'shlosha talus. And instead, he didn't spend it all on the suit. He spent three on the suit and three on a talus. So shnei amalu. Both guys are in violation of Mi'ila. Again, the same svara, that when he bought him the suit, he was doing the shlichus of the balabais. When he bought him the talus, that was his own thing. That was not the shlichus of the balabais. Therefore, it's Mi'ila for both of them. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, again, l'shitaso. Balabais lo ma'al, shomer lo chaluk gadol yisim v'vakesh v'esli katan v'ra. Balabais isn't in violation of Mila, because he said, if I gave you a dinar zav to spend on a suit, I wanted a nice suit. So you came back and you bought me an inferior suit, so you didn't do my shlichus at all, and therefore it's not the balabais' problem. Balabais is not violating Mi'ila whatsoever. Says the Gemara, Shamet Mina, Mandam l'shlucha zil zavenli kura da'ara. It seems from here that if a guy sends his shliach to buy a kur of land, we see from the case of the buying the chaluk b'shlosha that both of them are in violation of Mi'ila, that even the Tanakama Shita, that even the Balabais is in violation of Mi'ila, even though he told him, he gave him the dinar zahav, and the guy bought only spent half of it to buy the item that he was told to bring. So it seems that if a person sends a shliach to buy a kor of land, va'azal v'zavin le'lischa kani lokeach, and he goes and he buys a lesech of land that he is kona the land. Amri hacha hechidami. So we say, no, what's the case? Go into Isile, Shavavav Bishalosh. No, maybe there's a big difference over there. When I tell you to buy me a quarter of land and you buy me a lesach of land, you're not doing your shlichus at all. Maybe everyone would agree that, and even Tanakama would agree, that you didn't buy the right amount of land. But over here, maybe the case in the Mishnah, when I gave you the dinar, 6 coins, 6 slotin, and I told you to buy me a suit, and you ended up spending 3 to buy me a suit, maybe because it was a 50% off sale. So you actually got me the exact suit that I wanted for a cheaper price. And that's why the balabais is mol, because that really is doing your shlichus. You got me exactly the same suit that I wanted. Maybe that's the case of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, that could very well be the case of the Mishnah if all we had was the sheet of the Tanakama. If we just needed to explain why the Tanakama would hold when you spend 3 on the suit and 3 on the talis, why it is that they're both in violation of Me'ilah. But how does that explain the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda then? The guy got exactly the same suit that I asked for. I asked him for a suit that cost a dinar zav. He got me a suit that cost a dinar zav. He just got it for half the price. So why wouldn't I be in violation? Why wouldn't the Balabais be in violation of Me'ilah? So says the Gemara, "Ema safe Rabbi Yudom or Balabais Loma al Rabbi Yudol's Balabais is not in violation of Me'ilah. Shuyoch Loma lo chalak gadol yisim vavakish vevesli chalak katan vara." But because he says, "I really wanted a different one. I wanted a better suit, and you brought me a bad one." No, but if we're talking about a case where he bought him the exact suit that he wanted, how do you explain that? How do you explain Shitas Rabbi Yudah? So Adamalei Yehavas Dinar Kulei Isis Li Shava Beis Dinarin. So he says, no, obviously I gave you that amount of money. I wanted you to maximize that amount of money. I wanted you to spend that amount of money on a suit. So if you got a good deal, good. So get me the next level up. Get me a higher quality suit. That Rabbi Yehuda's moda when it comes to buying beans, that both of them are in violation of Me'ilah, because then it's shakitnis b'prut of a kitnis b'dinar, because changing the amount that you buy doesn't change the prices at all. It's sold by the pound, and it doesn't matter if you buy 5 pounds, 10 pounds, it's going to be the same ratio anyway. And in that case, even Rabbi Yehuda would be moda. It's by the suit where things could change drastically from one level to the next. That's where Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree. Hechidami iba asu dezavni b'shuma gabi kitnis nami diavsela muzi leitvei. If they sell it based on estimation, so then likely if you're buying a lot more, they'll give you a better deal. So amar papa b'dukta dezavni b'kani kani kana b'pruta. Da'asam pasuk milsayu. Now it must be that we're talking about where they sell it very exactly by measure. That you buy this amount, it's $1 a pound, and therefore you buy 10 pounds, it's $10. You buy 100 pounds, it's $100. And in that case, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to be moda. That is considered that he did his shlichus when he bought a lesser amount of it, because it really is, he didn't cost him anything by buying a lesser amount of it. So it's considered a partial fulfillment of the shlichus. Last Mishnah in the Masechta. So says Mishnah, Hamafkin Ma'os Eitzel Shulchani. Let's say you bring money to a Shulchani, to a money changer, to watch for you. So Im Tzrurin Lo Yishtamish Ben. The halacha is, in general, as a Chosh Mishpat issue, the Mishnah tells us, that if you bring money that's wrapped in a certain way to a Shulchani, he's not supposed to use that money. You're using it purely like a safety deposit box. That he's, you're going to pay him a couple of dollars later for him to just keep that money, but he's not allowed to use that money at all. Lefichachim Hotzi Ma'al. And therefore, if he does use that money, and it happens to be money of Hegdish, and he had no idea, he's in violation of Me'ilah. But imutarin, but if you give him just loose change, then the choshemishvat halacha is, the standard practice was, yishtamish behen, that the shulchani is allowed to use that money. That's like depositing money in the bank, where the bank uses that money as long as they make the funds accessible to you. You know, they don't have to keep those monies available to you. Lefichachim hotzi lo ma'al. So therefore, if he uses that money and he doesn't realize that it's hektish money, he is not in violation of Me'ilah. That's by a shulchani, by a money changer. Eitzel Balabais, what if you just stam give it to a friend? Then ben kach lo yishtamish ben. Whenever you give money to a friend to watch, he's never supposed to use the money. Even if you just give him loose change, he's not supposed to use it, he's just supposed to watch it. Lefichachim hotzi ma'al. Therefore, if he does use it, he's in violation of Me'ilah. What about if you don't give it to a shulchani, nor to a balabais, but you give it to a chenvini, someone who deals with other people's money, but money isn't his business? Meaning, the shulchani's business is a money changer. The balabais doesn't deal with other people's money in general, and therefore, when you're giving him money, he's supposed to just keep it. What about a storekeeper, a chenvini? He deals with other people's money, but money isn't his business. So a chenvini, kabalabais, divra meir. Meir says, well, it's somewhere in between, but we got to say that it has dinim of the balabais. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kishul. shulchani. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the chenvani has dinim of a shulchani. Nafla pruta shal hagdish betoch kiso. Let's say a pruta of hagdish falls in your wallet, osha, and you don't know where it is. You don't know which pruta is the pruta of hagdish. Osha or pruta bekisa hagdish. Well, let's say you say a pruta somewhere in this kiss should be hagdish. Kivin shaltias a rishon amal de Rabbi Kivas. Rabbi Kivas says first one you take out, that's a violation of meila. Apparently, safik daraisa l'chumra, right? That is the first one you take out is a violation of meila. The chum amar achiyotias kol kiss. The chum say no, not until you take everything out of the kiss. Only then is it a violation of meila. Only once you spent everything in the kiss, because it could be the very last one. That's really a violation of Mila. Umodah Rabbi Kiva lechacham, Rabbi Kiva's modah, ba'omer pruta min kis zeh hegdish. When you say a pruta from this wallet should be hegdish, shumotzi v'halichat shiotzias kalakis. Then you could keep on spending money from that wallet, and it's only a violation of Mila when you spend the very last pruta. But until then, it's not yet a violation of Rabbi. Even Rabbi Kiva's modah, it's only a violation when you've spent all of it. Tosus of here in Dibra Maskal Pruta, third wide line, ask the kasha we've discussed earlier. Tame of liftel high pruta shall hegdish enafla. Why don't we say that it's batel barov? A pruta of hegdish falls in, and it's a bunch of prutas of chulin. So why don't we say it's batel barov, and therefore there's no hegdish whatsoever? It's all batel. V'chitei medavar sheish lamatirin hu alidei pidyon. Maybe you're going to say no. This is a davar sheish lamatirin. Anything that could become mutter after time is not batel barov, and you could be matir a pruta of hegdish by being podeit. V'afilu be'elaf lo batil. That can't be the situation over here, because we're talking in dinim daraisa. The fact that a davar sheish lamatirin can't be batel is a din derabanan. So that can't be the case. So v'tzarich lomer deleka el chad bekis deleka bittel. It also makes an incredible ukimta. Case must be that you dropped a pruta of hegdish in a wallet that had exactly one pruta in it. So it's not batel brov, because it's not the rov. It's half-half. So that's why there's no din of bittel brov. But ein achinami sounds from this first answer to if it fell into a wallet that had multiple prutos of chulin in it, then the pruta would be batel, and you wouldn't have any hektish problem. Inami matbeah chashiv of lo batel. Or maybe you could say no. Coins in general are considered to be chashiv, and therefore as a davar chashiv, they're not going to be batel. Right? Davar sheyesh lo matirin has nothing to do with chashivos. Davar sheyesh lo matirin has to do with the fact that instead of letting it be batel, why don't we just wait till it becomes mutter, and then we won't have to rely on bittel. It's a different svara. Chashivos is a svara midaoraisa. That's like beria is a din in chashivos. So when something is a complete entity, right? Chaticha arui l'skabit is a din in chashivos. So the din of chashivos is a din daoraisa. Okay, says the Gemara. Yes, Rav Dimi Amar Rami Leil Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan Maisha Reisha Maisha Seifa. So Rav Dimi said that Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, why does Rabbi Akiva think in the case of, right? We had two cases. In the case where pruta of hegdish fell into the kiss, or you said pruta bikis ze hegdish, so Rabbi Akiva thinks as soon as you take the first one out, it's a violation of Mila. But if you say pruta min kis ze hegdish, then it's only going to be a violation of Mila when you spend the last one. What's the difference between the two cases? So I'm really safe about Mila yiftor kis ze min a hegdish. Now the safe is not a case where you said a pruta from this kiss is hegdish. The safe is a case where you said that this kiss will not be totally spent until a hegdish, something comes out of it a hegdish. So that's ki'ilu, you're saying only the last one will be hegdish. So of course, in that case, Rabbi Akiva will be mode. Another version of the kasha, kiyasa ravin amar, it wasn't a kasha from the Resha to the Seifa of this Mishnah. The kasha was on the case of the kiss from a different case in Shas of a shor. Ditnan ha'omer echad mishvarai hegdish. A guy says one of my oxen should be hegdish. Hayulo shnayim, and he had two oxen. Hagadol shaben hegdish. The larger of the two oxen is determined to be the hegdish one. Why don't we say the same thing by the kiss? Apparently, we say with the money that it's the last one or whatever, but we don't say just take the big one, take the better one. So says Gemara, "Le seifa b'omer lo yiftor kiss them in a hegdish." Now you have to say the case in our Mishnah is where you say that this kiss is not going to be totally spent without hegdish coming out of it, which is ki'ilu. You said the last thing that comes out of it is hegdish. Third version of the kasha, Rav Papa Amar Kisin Alugin Ramalei. No, the kasha was from the kiss to a lug of yayin. Ditznan halokeach yayin mibena kutim. If a person purchases wine from amongst the kutim, omer shnei lugin, and it's now almost Shabbos, or it is Shabbos, and he can't be mafresh trumas meisos from the wine. So what does he do? So he does it with breira. He says shnei lugin shani yasal lahafresh, the two lugin that I'm going to take from this wine, harehin truma, they should be truma on the 100 lugin of wine that I have. Asara meisorishon, the 10 that I'm going to take next when Shabbos is over that I will take should be meisorishon. Tisha, and then the next 9 meisorsheni should be meisorsheni. Umechol v'shosu miyad divrei Meir, and then he's mechalal and he can drink it right away and he doesn't have to worry about anything. That's Rav Meir, that we can rely on breira that whatever he drinks is not the truma, the meisorishon, or the meisorsheni. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Osher, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon say it's asher. So what's our kasha? So says Tosos, mi Rabbi Meir parach. Why does he have to say that which I will be mafresh on Motzai Shabbos? Even if he doesn't say it, whatever's left should automatically be the truma. Just like in our Mishnah, whatever money was left in the wallet, we assume is the hegdish. The first monies he spent were not the hegdish, and only whatever money is left is considered to be the hegdish. So we should say the same exact thing. Over there, we say that you don't even need to rely on Breira. Rashi says that we're only asking from the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, that they say it's problematic. But Tosa says, then we have a simple answer. Just say our mission is going like Rabbi Meir. So it has to be that the Kash is even Lefi Shita's Rabbi Meir. So I'm like, Seifa de Masnissim, Bama Loyifta Kizem in a Hegdish. Again, the same answer. You have to say the Seifa is talking about a case where you say Loyifta Kizem in a Hegdish. Now, in regards to Breira, La Halacha, it's a big sugi in Shas, La Halacha, the Raman Paskins, when the issue is a dinta oraisa it's clear in the Rambam in several places. There's trumos perak aleph halacha aleph, it's meiser perak zayin halacha aleph, it's gerushin perak gimel halacha dalet. Many other places in the Rambam that when we deal with a dinta oraisa, then we're going to say ein breira. But something that's only midirabanan, we're going to say yesh breira, because that's what it says in Maseches Beitza, the sheet of Rav Oshia, that midoraisa ein breira, midirabanan yesh breira. That's Beitza daf lamed ches. Now, what's the svara though? So the Ran explains that the svara is very simple. The Ran in Yud Beis Amud Beis Midape Arif says the svara is that is there breira or is there not breira? Can we rely on breira? Can we not? It's a suffix. And therefore, for all dinim d'araisa, we're going to be machmir. For all dinim d'rabanan, we're going to be mekil. It will turn out that if relying on breira would be a chumra, so then it would meaning if relying on breira would be a chumra, so then we, for daraisas, we would not be able to rely on breira. Meaning, if it would turn out you want to say sabi daraisa l'chumra, so ain breira because we have to be machmir. Sometimes making breira, relying on breira will be a chumra. Then it would turn out that for daraisas, according to the Ran's explanation, that for daraisas we would rely on breira, and the reverse for drabanans. Shagasari said that even in something that's midrabanan. So the Yamshel Shlomo rather says a totally different explanation. He says no. When we say the midaraisa in breira has nothing to do with suffik, it's petoras vaday. Whether it's balahachmir, whether it's balahakel, doesn't make a difference. So major machlokas rishonim. The idea that yesh breira on a drabanan ain breira on daraisa, is it a din suffik or is it a din vaday with major nafkaminas? What if you have a reverse from the usual case that yesh breira would be a chumra and ain breira would be a kula? Not everyone agrees with the pesach of the Rambam. Tosos Maseches Tmura Paskins that we always say yesh breira both on daraisas and rabbanans. The Mordechai Paskins, we always say ein breira both on daraisas and rabbanans. A major shasugya, but okay, that's it for Maseches Meila. We'll get back to breira, I'm sure, in many other places in Shas. Hadron l'chashir shas shlichus l'slichu Maseches Meila. But Hashem, tomorrow we'll begin Maseches Kinin.